Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in
project today. My family and I are planting a tree. Not the kind that grows in soil, but the kind that grows out of stories and memories. It's called a family tree. And basically, it's a chart of your family's history. And when it's done, it looks something like this. We've been researching and collecting data for months now, and it's amazing some of the things we've gathered. We have old photos and letters, documents, records, and memories. Lots of family memories that have been told and retold from one generation to the next. Of course, our family isn't the only one with stories from the past. Every family has them. In this book, the story goes back 7 generations. It's about a family that preserves its heritage by stitching stories into quilts and passing down that tradition of remembering. The story and that tradition are called Showway.
Showway, written by Jacqueline Woodson, illustrated by Hudson Talbot, and I'm Diane Carroll. When Suni's great-grandma was 7, she was sold from the Virginia land to a plantation in South Carolina without her ma or pa, but with some muslin her ma had given her, and 2 needles she got from the big house, and thread dyed bright red with berries from the choke cherry tree. In South Carolina, Big Mama raised Suni's great-grandma. At night, Big Mama told the children stories. Stories she'd tell in a whisper about children growing up and getting themselves free. Big Mama taught Suni's great-grandma to sew colored thread into stars and moon and roads that slave children grew up and followed late in the night. And Suni's great-grandma grew up, jumped broom with a young man named Ensla, had herself a baby girl, and named that child Mathis May. And one day, Mathis May would be Suni's grandma, but not for a long, long time yet. In the meantime, she learned to sew. Beautiful girl child learned to sew. When Mathis May was 7, she got sold away, took a star from her mama's blanket, took a little piece of the road, pressed it to her face when she wanted to remember back home. And at night, she sewed stars and moons and roads, tiny patch pieces of stars and moons and roads. Slaves whispered what no one was allowed to say, that Mathis knew how to make a showway. Came to her for the patch pieces just before they disappeared into the night. Years later, Suni came. Suni's mama held her up in the moonlit night, showed her the stars, the moon, whispered into her ear, "There's a road, girl. There's a road." Love that Suni up so. Yes, she loved that Suni up so. Suni and her mama stayed on the land they'd always known, picking cotton for a little pay and a piece of that ground to farm. Call that land home. Stayed on with other people, none of them slaves anymore. Hard work making a life from pink day to blue black night, but it was a free life just the same. When Suni was 7, she was tall and straight-boned, like her mama. Took in wash with her mama. Sewed stars on patch pieces. Sewed stars and moons and roads. Sewed fields and rivers and trees. Call those quilts Trail to the North. Call the quilts Showway. Didn't much need that secret trail to the North anymore, but started living well off the money those quilts brought in. Sewed those quilts to live. Sewed those quilts to remember. Married a man named Walter Scott. Had herself a baby girl. Named that girl child Georgiana. Loved that baby up so, yes, they loved that baby up so. Georgiana, who grew tall and straight-boned and free, picking out words from her mama's Bible by age 3. Reading by oil lamp light at age 5, people say about Georgiana, she always had a book in her hand. Had herself 2 girls at once, named them Caroline and Anne. And Caroline and Anne grew up tall and straight-boned. Turned 7, walking in a line to change the laws that kept black people and white people living separate. They were a little bit scared sometimes, but pinned inside their dresses were showway patches Grandma Suni had given them. And something about those patches made Scared hang his mean old head and walk away. Anne grew up writing poems, and sometimes she made the poems into songs. Then Anne had me, and Mama loved this baby up so. Yes, she loved this baby up so. And when I was 7, I didn't have to work in a field or walk in any freedom lines. But I still read like Georgiana and wrote like Anne. And when the words were slow in coming, I sewed stars and moons and roads into quilts and curtains and clothes because Mama said all the stuff that happened before you were born is your own kind of show way. Had a baby and named that child Toshi Georgiana. Love that Toshi up so, yes. I love that Toshi up. So some mornings I start all over, holding tight to little Toshi. I whisper a story that came before her. There's a road, girl. There's a road.
Great book. The author, Jacqueline Woodson, is Suni's real-life great-granddaughter. And besides the stories and memories that she got from her family, she also inherited her grandmother's quilt as well as her grandmother's love of sewing. This is a picture of Jacqueline. And this is the quilt, the heirloom, that she will now pass on to her daughter, who is the next girl in Suni's line. Imagine holding a piece of your family's history right in your hands and how powerful.
Hey, Dad, look what Mom and I have.
Oh, my.
Believe it.
You are kidding me. Where did you get this?
Grandma says she found it in her attic.
My goodness. She sent it to us?
Mm-hmm.
I am so shocked she let this out of her house. This was my grandfather, your great-grandfather, Meek, my grandfather Willis Ward's saddle blanket.
Isn't this too big to be a saddle blanket?
No, see, even though it's a big blanket, it was folded and put across the horse before the saddle went on.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's lots of holes.
There's a hole. This really is one of the most valuable things that, you know I will own someday.
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
What you could get passed down to you. Speaking of passing down, you know, Grammy passed down something for you before you were even born.
Ooh, what?
This ring.
That's so gorgeous. It's so pretty.
Isn't it pretty?
Can I have it?
She gave it to me on my wedding day for me to pass on to my daughter, should I have one. So you can try it on. It's a little too soon for a wedding day, but looks good. On your wedding day, you'll have it. And then you can pass it down to your daughter.
Mm. Right. How about you? Is there something in your family that has a story behind it that has special meaning for you?
This is a little baby rattle. And it was my grandma's, and then my mom's, and then mine, and then my two younger brothers. And it's kind of special to think that I was playing with this, and so was my grandma.
This camera was bought by my great-grandfather. He loved taking pictures of his child, my grandfather. Not only do we have this camera, but the pictures that my great-grandfather took, so we can learn more about my great-grandfather.
This is a brooch of my great-great-great-grandparents. This is part of my Italian history. When I have children and they have children, they could pass it down and they could see where some of their ancestors looked like.
This used to be my mom's and she gave it to me. And my mom used to press her nose against his nose so much it kind of broke. I think it's really special to me because it's my mom's.
When you have something to hold on to, like a blanket or a ring, it helps you picture how your ancestors might have lived. But when you have someone to hold on to, like a living grandparent, you have an even greater treasure. You can discover firsthand what their lives were like and how they lived, and don't be surprised, if you are surprised, at some of what you find.
Yes. Excuse me, what makes this cake so special, huh?
Because it's good.
It's what makes
good,
it so special?
It's excellent.
The children in the Kinner family spend a lot of time with their grandmother, Celia.
In my place, sometimes we have 300 kids in some
places. How come we get the private jet and we don't?
The family is thankful for every minute together.
When we get together, it is nothing but fun and laughs and just a good time. There's always good food that we know.
Come on, David, have a piece of Giggy cake.
And there's this level of closeness that we have with her.
My grandmother is like my second mom. She has been a main part of my life. I mean, she means more than anything in the world to me.
My grandchildren and children are extremely important to me, from the youngest to the oldest. I have a wonderful relationship with each one of my grandchildren.
Oh, good, you found the pictures.
Right, some photos that are important for you.
Celia takes the time to share her childhood experiences with each of her grandchildren.
I was an only child, born to a middle-class family, pretty indulged, pretty happy. I went to ballet classes, and I was extremely excited about my first ballet recital. And this is where the story really begins. This was taken the week of the recital that was supposed to take place. This was my Shirley Temple.
But Celia never made it to her ballet recital. That day, the Nazi army marched into her town and took it over. This was the time of the Holocaust, when the Nazis did great harm to the Jewish people. Since Celia's family and friends were Jewish, they were in great danger.
These are the two cousins. I was with them in hiding in the ruins of a bombed out house. And one of the times I remember being in a basement, and these were very primitive kind of hiding places. And that basement was beginning to fall in. I was pulled out by a hand. I made it up.
Celia was lifted out by someone who got out of the basement ahead of her. It was a time when everyone depended upon each other.
I was hungry. I was angry. I was dirty. I don't remember what I ate, but it must have been just scraps of food. I remember just a constant gnawing in my stomach. It was just living in horror and major discomfort.
Celia had done nothing wrong, but she still had to be very careful. She knew all the places a child could hide. Somehow, at 7 years old, she managed to stay safe every time.
You know that there was a time in our history
what there was, the Nazis, and they wanted a world without Jews.
Celia makes sure that every grandchild learns about her story. Marcus is especially interested.
My cousin Marcus was assigned in class to do a project on a family member and chose my grandmother to interview and to write a story about her life.
I bet it must have been, like, really hard.
It was very hard, I would think back now. But at the time, I wanted to be brave. I was on my own. And I did what I needed to do to live. I ran off and hid in the ruins that I was familiar with because we had lived there at some point.
Eventually, a non-Jewish family took her in and hid her in their house. Even though it was the first time in years Celia had a real place to live, she still had to use a secret room inside the house so she could always be out of sight. This family was very brave. It was a dangerous thing to hide Jewish people in your home.
One day, a family like mine was discovered. They were hiding Jewish children, and these people were severely punished.
So she was forced to hide in the barn. She lived there for many months, until one day, the war was over, and Celia was free. And miraculously, she was reunited with her parents.
We were an intact family. And it was, even then, everyone said, oh my God, you're a family again. So few were.
Even though Celia and others did survive this terrible time, many did not.
I'm a survivor. My mother was a survivor.
Now, at this point in time, more than ever, the story has to be told, because the bottom line is that most of the people that were there are not going to be here in 10, 15, 20 years. And as much as you could read about something in a history book, it's never the same as actually hearing someone that was there speaking about it.
I decided that the day I came here to the United States, that was my birthday, because I didn't want to remember my past. But now I feel that I should remember and tell it so that young people like you should know, so that you can understand to be more tolerant of other people and that such a disaster does never happen again.
I actually finally finished the book.
Oh my, I heard so much about it.
My cousin Marcus took it to a whole new level and wrote a book called Survival.
This is the dedication page. I dedicate this book to my grandmother and everybody else who inspired me to write this book.
Which means that the story of the Holocaust, it really inspired you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see, so.
This is the first page.
Children can only learn from what they're told by adults. And I would like to hope that in my lifetime, I can prevent at least a few from saying, it's just a story. There never was a Holocaust. It's not a story. It was real. I was there. I am so, so lucky to have you and all your other cousins in my life. You can't live with hate. You can't. People heal, and I healed, and I am, I think, a fairly well-adjusted person. I can't thank you enough for this book.
Having someone like Celia in your life connects you directly to your past and really inspires you to want to explore your family history. And even if you don't think you have someone amazing or even famous in your family, remember that all of your relative stories are not only interesting, but they have value as well. And when your research is done, then you can put together your family tree. So, ladies, what do we have in the way of materials to put together our family tree?
Well, how about this?
Oh, my. Yeah. There are so many people here.
Wow.
Where are you, Steph, in this Cozart family tree?
I am right there.
Oh, and there I am.
Oh, and there's me.
Okay, so your father was Thomas Cozart, mm-hmm. and your mom, Donna White. Right, and so this is the Cozart family tree.
Right, you trace this up to his father.
His father.
Jackie Norris Cozart.
So there are the six children. So we have to figure out how many of these people we're going to be able to fit into our family tree, right?
Can we put in karma?
Yes, we can put in karma.
Yay.
Okay.
One puppy, that's it.
One dog per family. All right, so let's say we take from this part of the family down to Mika.
Right. So we could just do it that way and branch it off both sides.
Right. Okay, so let's see how many pictures we have of these people in the Cozart branch of the family. All
okay.
right?
Okay, we want to start youngest generation out?
Youngest to oldest.
All yeah. right. Let's start with Mika.
And then we'll go me, mom, granny, your dad.
My grandmother. Great Aunt Maud.
Great, 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 great grandmother.
All right, so now we have all of our pictures in order. I guess it's time to start scanning, right?
Let me help you with that.
Good idea.
I'm a resident computer expert. Mm-hmm. All right, Meef. Well, let's start with you and Karma.
Yay! Okay, so put it upside down. Scan.
Right.
Okay, scanning.
Right. Oh, there it is. Let's print one and see what it looks like.
And then we'll see if that's a good size.
Okay. Okay. That's one down.
Many to go.
Great.
Many to go. All right, so let's get going.
There we are, all scanned and mounted.
Wow, that's great. So this is the shot of Mika and Karma,
mm-hmm.
right? And here's your father, Tommy.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Here's your grandmother.
Right. There's our mommy.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother.
So I get that these are the leaves, but what are we gonna use for a tree, sweetie?
Well, we have a surprise for you. Michaela, you wanna bring it in?
Ta-da!
Wow, look at this. This is incredible. Meek, did you do this?
With a lot of help.
Wow, look at how beautiful this is. So I see, so these are the places where we're gonna hang
mm-hmm.
our pictures, right?
Right.
Okay.
So start at the top and work down
uh-huh.
from the great-greats on down.
So the oldest to the youngest.
Exactly.
Okay. My great-great-grandmother goes up at the top here.
Very top.
On the right. Maternal grandmother
mm-hmm.
goes there. That's my grandfather. My grandmother.
Yes. Michaela's maternal great-great-aunt.
My grandma and grandpa.
And so the last picture to go on our family tree would be you, Michaela.
Yay!
Nice, that's it then,
done.
Right? We're done. Nice, sweetie.
Good
Very
job.
Nice. Mika, good job.
Did it.
This has been an awesome experience. When you trace your family tree, you get an opportunity to meet the folks you came from and to see where in the line you are. So, if you're thinking about starting your own family tree, then here are three books that are worth going out on a limb for. But
you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, my name is Jay, and the book that I read was The Kids' Family Tree Book, and it's about tracing your family history. It tells you to look up different documents and ask people in your family about your family history. Documents can be your birth records, different progress reports that have all this information. I think the author gave some good ideas on how to trace your family history. When I read this book, it really, really got me going, and I wanted to create my own family tree and chart.
Hi, my name is Tina, and the book that I read was What a Family, and was basically about family. This family has lots of people, but everyone looks a little bit the same and a little bit different. Some people have the same ears, some people have the same noses. Take a look at these eyebrows. I think they're hysterical. But what was really funny about the eyebrows part was when I turned the page and you find out that the grandfather looked like his dog. If you're looking for a fun book that's a little strange, this is a book that's for you. What a Family!
My name is Emma Joy, and I'm reading Seven Brave Women. This book is about lots of generations of grandmothers, and each grandmother tries to help people. Like, one wants to become a doctor, and back then, it's really, really hard to become a doctor if you're a girl. Most picture books are just like a continuous story, the whole story. And this is kind of like seven different stories for seven different brave women. I definitely recommend this book for boys and girls because it shows a lot to them that they can do anything.
Well, our tree is done and there's only one more decision to make, and that's where to put it. So, what do you guys think?
My bedroom.
Living room.
The family room.
Excellent decision, ladies. Very nice. You know, when we started this project, I thought it was a good idea, but I was wrong. This was a great idea. Tracing your family's roots brings your history, as well as your ancestors, to life. So, go ahead, climb up your own family tree, take a look around and discover your past. And remember that one day, another curious kid will do the same thing. Climb up and look back, only to discover you.
Dad, we found a spot.
I'll be right there. I'll see you next time. Hey, that's perfect. I love it. Today's Reading Rainbow books are Showway by Jacqueline Woodson, illustrated by Hudson Talbot, published by G.P. Putnam Sons. The Kids' Family Tree Book by Caroline Levitt, illustrated by Ian Phillips, published by Sterling Publishing Company, Incorporated. What a Family by Rachel Isadora, published by G.P. Putnam Sons. Seven Brave Women by Betsy Hearn, illustrated by Beth Ann Anderson, published by Green Willow Books.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton. In uncertain times, there's no more effective way to make your kids feel good and safe than to spend time with them. We at Reading Rainbow suggest sharing a book with your family. Read for fun, read for family. Read for our future.